And welcome to Backbeat Radio today on HealthyLife.net. As we talk about music and many music-related subjects, one of the things we certainly would not be able to go too far in the musical pantheon of subjects is dance. And now, and we focus a lot about listening, recording, playing, seeing live music, but a lot of people enjoy music for dance purposes, dance for expression, dance for exercise, dance for entertainment, and historical things with dance today. Our guests today on Backbeat Radio, Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore, and we're going to be talking about the history of black dance in America. Both Ron and Chester are involved with the Central Avenue Dance Ensemble. It's a multi-age performance group led by Chester Whitmore. The mission is to help promote American vernacular dances in the 20th century, and these dances include and are not limited to some of the American street dances like Leonard Reed's Shim Sham Shimmy, also the Shorty George and the Charleston going back to the 20s, and the Lindy Hop of the 20s and 40s, in addition to the Chicago Bop, and that led into Steppin' in the 1990s. So the Central Avenue Dance Ensemble is aiming to show connections between dance forms generation to generation and their connection to music and to cabaret, both for performance and pleasure and historical purposes, and to show how American vernacular dances were influenced by African dance and were shaped by spirituality and even slavery, as well as were molded by rhythm and music, tap dance, salsa, many other influences. Without further ado, let's hear more from Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore today on Backbeat Radio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Doing good. Is that Chester?
Yeah, this is me.
All right, Chester, welcome.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
great to be here, and it is fabulous to be here and make it to 2015, making it out here.
Yes, we have made it here. It's a new year and a new beginning, and moving on into a little bit of the project here. Now, I guess you guys have been showing this for a little while in the past, but this year you took on a little bit more of an effort in that you also went into a Kickstarter campaign. Why don't you first kind of give us a history of the ensemble and kind of a little bit about what's been going on behind the scenes before the Kickstarter campaign kicked in just at the end of 2014?
Well, Kickstarter? Well, as far as the group is concerned, a thing that I had in the past, the idea I had in the past in the late 70s, 80s, we had a group of talking about there's no group out here to preservate the art of vernacular jazz dance, meaning the original form of jazz dance or jazz music as its form. We always had companies, dance companies that were evolved out of ballet, modern, you know, the jazz, you know, Joffrey Ballet, the Dance Theater Harlem, or the Great American Ballet Theater, but that's called European dances, but America has never had their own dance company that talks about vernacular dance forms. So those dance forms were made out of here in America. So what has to be done right now is what this company is, Central Avenue, is based off a group of them made out in the 80s. And now their mission is to preserve the art form of vernacular jazz dance, dances that evolved out of America itself, you know, which was over like 1,500 styles of dancing forms came out of that, from spirituals to the work songs to the blues to the jazz and that. And these are things we read about but we never get a chance to see. So now the public can also deny we see these dances to what were great. Because the younger generation now, they sit back and listen to these songs of music, like the jazz and stuff. They say they think it's listening music. It isn't listening music. It's well, stuff that was the hip-hop of that time. That type of style of music was. That was it. So Central Avenue Dance is performed to preserve the dance forms of the style of that music and that style of that dance. Now, this show, the history of jazz, of history of black dance in America, is a show that educates and entertains and tells you the different variations of the dance, and you can get deep into the dances as well as that multimedia surface of all of that. And that's what Mr. Parker has put together, the form of a two-hour show that you can see all of these dances all on stage, multimedia, and experience it at the same time. And he stood by the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter was a means of being fun because nobody's not going to be able to get this stuff together unless the public is putting their hands into it, not unless you have sponsorships or anything else. Once they see the mission of what they're trying to do, everybody would join in. And you can carry on. You can move forward to more theatrical realms or commercial realms as well as television and film.
That's definitely you're talking like 100, maybe 200 years worth of stuff leading up to what could be considered some of the modern dance of maybe our generation. But there was a lot of period both in American history that a lot of the history of this dance was just overlooked or not really promoted so much. And as you mentioned, Chester, when we think of the jazz, we think of the music, maybe think of the musicians and listening. But the fact that that was the hip-hop and the dancing music of its time and so heavily influential at that time, many people do forget that. So this project, History of Black Dance in America, is definitely going to kind of highlight this for folks that are going to check it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we got, and the scenes of dancing, you know, in today's society right now, it really has been getting big. Of course, so you think you can dance, you got Dancing with the Stars and everything else, which is great. It shows you that the public is looking for more dance. They want to see. I mean, I'm not surprised that you don't see more musicals out there in the theater, in the movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And out there, so when they see this, they go, wow, they club. I think America right now is more thriving for more entertainment like that. Good entertainment, and that's what this show is about. You know, showing originality, education, but also at the same time.
Yeah, I feel I kind of agree with you on that, Chester. I think Americans are kind of looking for some of the entertainment that we enjoyed in the past. That was a little bit more of a variety and didn't seem to go for maybe the punchline or the soundbite or as much comedy. Not that laughing is not a good thing to have in our life, and certainly there's been some great comedy and other movies as well. But I think that there was some classic entertainment and musicals and varieties that we just don't get as much anymore. And, you know, case in point with the popularity of the dance TV shows. A couple years ago, I was actually watching a Monday night football game at a local sports bar, and the bartender, about 10 minutes to 9 o'clock, started changing the channel to what was going to be Dancing with the Stars or one of the dance shows, saying that in about 15 minutes there would be a whole room of dance fans coming in to watch the show, and it was now taking over her Monday night football business. So the tide had definitely turned, and the appetite for the entertainment is definitely there.
Oh, that's true. It has been. You know, when you watch the football game, what's the football game? Of course, everybody goes to a football game. But the main thing is, what did everybody wait for? It's the halftime. The halftime show.
Yeah, that definitely is a big thing. Where with the upcoming the Super Bowl upcoming that just happened. You know, a lot of people were certainly concentrating on the game, but there was probably a number of people who tuned in just to see the halftime entertainment and the choreography and the performance of that.
It amazes me. That really amazes me when I see stuff like that. I said, boy, it really shows you. You know, it shows you what the music, how powerful music and dance is really is. You know, what it's really applied to. So the main thing is it's really good. And it's really, you know, seeing these styles of dances. You know, the most fascinating thing is mainly about when you have these kids, younger kids that are doing it, and some of the kids, like, I worked with some kids that worked with Lady Gaga Chris Brown and a lot of these, Usher, and different, you know, great hip-hop artists, Beyonce and stuff, they dancing. But if you notice there, you know, it's only so far you can go. Mm-hmm. They are getting into a fashion of where, how far can we pull this? If you don't have a strong foundation of the background of these people, of the entertainment, it's not going to work. You know, they have to have, you know, they have, you can't, you know, they can't go no further on the, their shows. So they have the lack of these experienced people like in the old MGM motion pictures, Republic Pictures or RKO Pictures that they had know-how to do a stage act or how to do a Broadway show or something like that. And so only the major people that had a foundation or a background of that are the ones that are the ones who are going to really make it, you know, going to make it through. And that's as far as they go. So now they're searching, you know. I even see the younger, you know, Justin Timberlake and everybody else, they're looking for the older stuff. They look to get ideas, and they're looking at all kinds of things. Oh, wow, I could use that. Oh, why didn't I think of this? You know, the old-fashioned musicals are always there. You know, they never go old, really, in fashion.
That's very true. There was always talent and always creativity and great performances in those dances and performances from yesteryear. We're talking with Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore right now on Backbeat Radio and talking about the history of black dance in America and a couple websites to go to if you want to find out more. There is historyofblackdance.org. Is that the correct site, Ron?
Ron?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was wondering if Ron was on the line with us. But we have the historyofblackdance.org, and then on Facebook, it's the site on Facebook is Black History Dance to find out more information on the show coming up. And then, of course, centralavedance.com is the site where you have links to a lot of other stuff and some videos and a little bit about the mission and the history of the project, right?
Yes, it's on Facebook. It's Facebook/ Black Dance History.
That's it, Black Dance History.
Right, right. And I just want to just make one little small point is that, you know, as you can see from what Chester's telling you, you know, this is a fascinating history,
mm-hmm.
and you make the point that it's very, you know, it's not very well known. One of the reasons is that it's not funded. You know, we have applied for grants to various of the national granting organizations, and, you know, we've never been funded. They fund modern, they fund jazz, they fund, you know, hip-hop, you know, but they don't fund the original American vernacular. And that is why we had to turn to Kickstarter. And I just want to thank all the people who supported us on Kickstarter to make this show happen this year.
Absolutely. Now, so you reached the goal with the Kickstarter fundraiser, and that's going to help just more than the dancers. There's a lot of people that are involved behind the scenes, correct? Why don't you let us know where some of that other funding is going to put on the magnitude of this entire production, Ron?
Well, yes, the funding was for the entire show. You know, we have the theater, you know, we have the dancers, you know, we have the crew, you know, lighting, technical, stage, and so forth. We have, you know, costuming, you know, we have to get printing and so forth done. So there are a lot of people that are, you know, going to be involved in this and are actually going to benefit from it, including, of course, we hope, the audience.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, of course, is a great goal. Obviously, it's important for the artists and the talent and the crew to be paid or and reimbursed for their time and their effort and their skill and talent. In addition to, you know, it seems that so many artists have to give things away for free nowadays. Like you said, if there's no funding, sometimes there's no fun. We don't get to see a lot of great stuff just because the time and effort is not paid attention to those type of styles. So this is a great thing. Now you're in the midst of locking down a location, so listeners can go to those sites to find out exactly. I know you said you can't quite announce it yet because it's not officially confirmed, right?
No. We started this process sort of late, so you know, It's been fairly difficult. We actually do have a location now, but we can't announce it because it's not confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
We will put that information up on our website and our Facebook page as soon as we can actually confirm it. But we are looking for a date now, maybe perhaps March or April. Our feeling being that every month is Black History Month.
I agree. I have always thought that it should be celebrated a little bit more often than just 1 month. And, you know, let's not make it the shortest month of the year as well. I mean, come on. You only get 28 days. It's like a half a month, you know?
365 days in 1 month. Wow.
Yeah. And, no, it definitely, I've always felt it was kind of a short sight to have it be in the shortest month of the year. And, you know, right after the holidays before people are moving into the new year. We're talking with Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore today on Backbeat Radio about the history of black dance in America, and Black Dance History on Facebook is the page they should probably go to, right?
Yes, facebook.com/blackdancehistory.
All right. Now, Ron, you said there's some plans to eventually release a DVD from the performances when they happen. So that's something that'll be available either online or for people to purchase or download or pass around and use for historical, entertainment, and educational purposes.
Absolutely. That was part of the reasons we requested funding, to be able to finally put this, onto a video so we can reach a larger audience.
And is there any plans to take this show on the road outside of the Southern California, Los Angeles area to maybe some of the other large cities across the country?
We are talking to people now, yes. In fact, we are talking to people in Europe as well to perhaps try to get a European tour going next year. Again, there's a lot of interest in this style, as Chester says, because, you know, it's so old that it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique, and it's something that's not taught in most schools and certainly not presented by most of the major dance companies today.
Yeah, that's true. And, there's something about, even like with jazz music too, you know, I enjoy listening to it. It's a musician's type of genre, but, you know, it just doesn't, generate the popularity that, you know, some of the other styles do. So a lot of times the business behind will react a little bit more to the numbers. Ron, I wanted to ask you how you got involved with your dancing career. You sort of matriculated from a more of a business background and kind of enjoyed it as a hobby, and then it sort of took over. How did that happen? What was that process, Ron?
Yeah, it was just sort of amazing. I mean, I got into business immediately after college. Did that for a number of years. And towards the late 1990s, I just felt a need to get into, more social types of activities. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. I was looking around me and I'm seeing, the community is becoming more and more Hispanic. So I said, well, why don't I learn something where I can, engage that community more? So I decided to learn salsa. And from salsa, I learned to do hustle and other dances, ballroom and so forth, and eventually found my way to that guy on the other end of the phone making all the noise,
mm-hmm.
Chester Whitmore. And that sort of changed my entire life because, that is where it is from him, I have to say, that I essentially learned about the history of vernacular jazz and then also learned to love it and love presenting it and teaching it to other people.
Oh, very cool. Now, Chester, there's a good chance I may have seen you back on Saturday mornings in between my cartoons on a show with Don Cornelius back in the day. How were some of those performances?
Oh boy. Yeah, if you remember the old Soul Train, I got right out of high school. The sessions would have been 75, 76, and 77, 19, those 3 years. I was on that station.
Now that is,
Everybody had polyester suits and high, extension shoes, afros, big afros, afro picks hanging out. You had to wear a vest, very rare you could wear a tie. You didn't have to wear a tie, but you had no tie come on, and very loud color. The louder the colors, the better you were seen, being noticed,
No, yeah.
It was like I said, oh my God, doing it that really particular year, the 70s. The 70s were really particular year, very loud, flamboyant, that time. But that, even that there too, the dancing was very strong. Like we, said, the hustle was very always in. Disco was in. The fads of the movies, you know, the dance is always protecting year spans, you know, as well as cars, people, place, or thing. You know, those are the things that capture the year span. You know, the movie was Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm. absolutely. Absolutely, and I remember.
You know, mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Lester Wilson was the choreographer. He changed the whole phrase of dancing in the 70s on the disco John Travolta, you know, doing the Saturday Night, you know, everybody was doing that move at the same time.
And what he just told you is really what this show is all about.
Mm-hmm.
How many people know that the choreographer for Saturday Night Fever, which, you know, John Travolta got to international fame, was a black man?
Wouldn't, we didn't know who taught him those dance moves, but whoever did gave John Travolta a heck of a career, and John should still be sending that guy a check each and every week.
John is still dancing today.
Yes, he is. Now that's a great point, and that's a great case in point that he went from Vinnie Barbarito to, you know, one of our pretty decent dancer along the way.
He can move.
John DeGoldis is doing his thing now. He's doing it, and a lot of stars came out of it with that. The Dance Fever came out, and then after that, it was about a. Then you had your movement to change into the 80s, the 80s, mm-hmm. the breaking. I was just 2 nights ago, I was out with, I don't know if you remember a gentleman called Boogaloo Shrimp.
I don't.
Boogaloo, it's a movie, the movie was called Breaking.
Okay. Electric Boogaloo 2. Possibly.
Okay, and Boogaloo Shrimp was the smaller guy, was two major characters in the movie. Have you ever seen it? It's another era that took dancing into another turn in the 80s. That was the era of the popping and locking, popping and breaking. Popping and breaking is in the 80s. Locking is mainly at the ending of the 70s. And out of the 70s came a dance group. The dance group was called the Lockers at that time. And it was about 6-1-1 young lady. It was one of the ladies became one of the greatest choreographers right now, Tony Basil, out there in Hollywood right now. And they would just do this incredible locking, dressed up in knickers, worn 20s knickers suits with big apple hats and everything else. And they would dance these locking moves, fast rhythms and stuff. And it became crazy. Of course, in the 80s, it was called the breaking. Breaking from the East Coast was all the slightly spinning on their heads, where they were here on the West Coast was mainly the popping, the waving and the popping, the robot came out of that, and then they were, well, from there, that group, out of that same group, two of the members went into acting and became one of the great dancers, which was named Shabadoo. His name was Shabadoo. Incredible actor, dancer, and choreographer. And his partner in crime was the one and only Boogaloo Shrimp. Can you imagine a shrimp doing a cartoon of a shrimp dancing?
Yeah, really.
And they were responsible for a lot of the interesting dances that we see today now. What you saw, you think you can dance, you guys are doing all the acrobatic swipes, spinning on their heads, 1990s, and all the different. And this was the era of the originality of the B-boys. That was it. Then it started to change. Like I said, each era changes what people place or thing.
That is so true. And I know we're just about out of time with our segment today, but when you mentioned the Lockers in that period, I remember one Fred Berry who starred as Rerun on What's Happening. And, he used to...
He was great.
He would break out some moves. And I remember growing up, all my friends at school were like, that guy's in the Lockers, man. That guy's in the Lockers. So... You know, it had actually reached parts of San Jose, California, as I was growing up as well. So I was happy to know that I was touched by all that. And this is some fascinating stuff. We're gonna have to wrap up here in just a moment with our guest today, Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore, talking about some great history, the history of black dance in America. And listeners take this and pass it around all year. It doesn't just have to be part of Black History Month. It could be celebrated any time, and why keep it just in the month of February? But Ron, if you could let our listeners know again the websites to go find out more and find out where the venue will be when you can officially announce that and you have that locked in, and where they can go see the show.
Yes, that's www.historyofblackdance.org. And also you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackdancehistory.
All right, Ron Parker and Chester Whitmore, I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your day and taking time out of your dance and everything you're doing to help educate us today on Backbeat Radio, here with the history of black dance in America on HealthyLife.net. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Okay, take it easy.